The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
Let's get to it.
What's the record scratch?
Time to get to it, buddy. It's time to get to it. Let's go. Right. Here we go. I am not missing out on this.
I was going to say.
We're going Spider-Man all day, all night.
And man!
Come on. But I wasn't going to miss out on this song this year. Come on, John. You're going to sing along?
You guys all been good and practicing real hard. Yeah. Clients, you've been rehearsing real hard now. So stand and bring your new saxophone right
now. All right.
Everybody out there been good or what?
Next time you bring out the booze, we're going to bring out the tunes.
All right.
And you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not bow.
Does this not remind you of high school when we were kids? It just...
Yeah, it does.
This song in the 80s, it was...
Everywhere.
But only at Christmas.
Well, yeah.
You know, course, and it... But. Not like today, where you can call it up whenever you want, you know, right. Which we talk about. That's the new Get Off My Lawn from the old man. Like,
The Get Off My Lawn segment?
Yeah. But
plus, now you can start hearing it the week before Halloween, I think. So.
Well, yeah, they do start. But you'd be driving in the car, and you'd be like, there it is. And then one year for, I probably tell this every year, but one year for, we did a Secret Santa thing at Marshall's where I work. I know you worked at Star, and I was across the street at Marshall's. And we did a Secret Santa, and somebody gave me the 45 for this. So then I could listen to it whenever I wanted on my record player at home.
Yeah. You see, kids. Well, actually, they have vinyl. They still use vinyl.
Yeah, they still use vinyl. It's
it's now hip again.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Let's...
I would say we were all great this year. The whole world was great because we were given the gift of Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yes, so. Exactly. I tried to pull a fast one on you.
And I was like, I wasn't even engaging. I was like, I guess we'll wait until Tuesday. I thought we switched play. I thought it was like Freaky Friday.
But I was actually, what I was trying to do. All right, everybody, if you haven't figured out yet, we're going Spider-Man all the way. Book's gone. Listener comments gone. Everything's out the window. John and
Spoilers abound.
We'll lock the door in a minute, but it will go spoiler free for about maybe 5 more minutes. But then we are going. This is our wheelhouse. This is what we grew up with. I've been dying to get here with you. And then we had the snafu of our schedules weren't mixing today. We almost couldn't do this. And we're like, we are literally, if you guys knew what's going on right now, what editing might take place to put this together, because we are wedging this thing in. We're putting a square peg in a, I don't know.
Triangle.
Triangle or whatever.
I was going to say triangle hole, but that doesn't really work, right?
Well, I guess. A hole's a hole, right, John?
A hole's a hole. Well, story of my life. That's words to live by.
All right, let's try and be nice today. But, yeah, we're dying to get here, so we're talking Spider-Man. And we're going to break it all down. We're breaking it. The movie, we're going to go over everything that we can. We're going to go over the MCU. We're going to go over Spider-Man movies. Lots and lots to get to, but yeah, so let's go back to this weekend. And I'm like, had you seen it? And I was, like I said, I was all ready to pull a fast one on you. And I really, my idea for it was basically, what Tom Holland did. And we'll talk more about that in spoilers, but that's what I was trying to do to you. That's all I wanted to do. And I was actually, I told Joe, I'm gonna tweet about it. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. And then when the show comes, I'm gonna say I pull a Tom Holland. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't. Because once we started talking, I was like, I gotta tell him.
Well, actually, you didn't even do that. You just sent me your rankings of the MCU,
right?
And I saw where this sat, and I was like, pretty slow and just okay, question mark, but it's like your number two
of everything.
Spoilers. Yeah, MCU movie, and it's like, something's not adding up here.
Something's not adding
up. Or maybe he pulled a Shazam and saw it again. I was thinking maybe he saw it twice and liked it more the second time, so I had to investigate further.
And by investigate, you mean, huh?
Question, yeah, what?
So, let's spoiler free, because we're going to lock the door in a second, because I'm dying to get into stuff. But obviously, you loved it, right?
I loved it, yes.
Absolutely loved it. Same here. Absolutely loved it. If you're a Spider-Man fan, I don't know how this isn't one or two of all time, to be honest with you, for Spider-Man movies. For a movie in general. I mean, I'm putting it up there with Star Wars. It captures everything if you're a Spider-Man fan, especially for somebody like us. It's just the stuff we've talked about over the years and that we're going to get into when we get into the spoilers in 2 seconds. As an MCU movie, if you're just an MCU fan, absolutely go see it. And if you haven't seen it, pause, come back,
because
there's going to be lots of content coming up, because here we go. Why didn't that work? Oh, that's why. I did it again, John.
Did you unplug?
No, I didn't unplug. There we go. Oh, there. Taking the liberty, I am locking the door today.
There you go. I'm still fishing for my keys. I couldn't find them.
Yeah, exactly. I got them from you there, kid.
Yeah.
So, we are in spoilers. Tom Holland, not a good actor. He tried to lie to us, and none of us believed him. Yeah. That has nothing to do with the movie.
I was gonna say, I thought he was pretty good.
I know, but... which do you want to get? We're in spoilers. We're talking Spider-Man No Way Home. We're going to talk Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 3, Amazing Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man 2.
You know what I just realized? That we both neglected to put on our Spidey list yet? Into the Spider-Verse.
I asked you to, I actually put it on when I said the list, and I was going to mention it to you and see where did you want to slot that in.
Because
I left it off because you did, yeah.
Oh, it just popped into my head.
Because I know where I have it.
There, pretty close to the top, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I have my reasons for where it is, and we'll get to that when we get to our Spidey lists. So what do you want to get to first? We love to jump around. That's what we do. There's no structure here. We don't have structure. It was the first thing in the movie, which I thought was cool. Not the first thing, but the first reveal was Matt Murdock showing up, Charlie Cox, Daredevil. Yeah. What did you think of that? What did you think when he showed up there? What were your first impressions?
Of course, I guess was my, like,
well, we, to do be I fair, into, we're in
do
spoilers.
Do you want me to just launch into my tangent right off the bat or what?
Why not? Cause it'll take us down the road, knock yourself out. I'm different from you, but go ahead.
Yeah. So it obviously it was great, right? Like, okay, there's Daredevil, Charlie Cox is fantastic. Wasn't surprised. Saw Toby, saw Andrew, saw this and that. All great. Like they're all great moments in the movie, but I wasn't surprised because we've been speculating on these things for a year or more, right? So I guess my tangent is, like, does internet speculation ruin your enjoyment of a thing when you see it? And my contention is it does maybe not ruin it, but it definitely tempers it. Like, none of those moments in this movie were as big to me as, like, Cap getting the hammer in Endgame, which was like a a great moment.
Really?
That wasn't really, but they weren't spoiled. Like, that wasn't spoiled by.
I got a couple moments that are capped to like endgame moments.
You know what I mean? But
yeah, I know what you mean.
So
what
I'm saying is there were moments in this movie that should have felt like that, but they didn't because we knew they were coming.
Right.
Like, when you start peering through those portals or whatever, you know it's going to be Andrew Garfield. You know it's going to be Tobey Maguire.
So
you know these things are coming.
Can I be honest with you? Now, to be fair, I agree with you. I did know that they were going to be coming into the movie. But at that moment, when he peers, when Ned goes into that, he opens the portal. And right. We could talk about that, too, the fact that he can manipulate portals.
He's got magic, yeah.
He's got magic in his family. I've heard you say that a few times yourself. But when that portal opened, I was so invested in the movie, I wasn't even thinking, oh, well, this has to be one of them. I wasn't. And then when Garfield showed up, I was like, yes, I did not clap and cheer, but the room did. I'm not a clapper and cheer. I did clap and cheer when Cap got the hammer. And when Cap said, Avengers assemble or whatever he said, you know, whatever. I'm scatterbrained right now. But the room, it was fun. I loved seeing that online, all of the stuff. And I love the haters, too. Can we stop posting videos of people cheering? We get it. You like the movie. I know. And even Garmin. And I was like yelling at him on the radio, looking at him. And he's like yelling at Eddie because they cheered. And Eddie's like, it's such a great experience to do this. Garmin, who named his only son after a football stadium. And what do you do in a football stadium? Cheer with a bunch of other people for a team, which is all that Eddie was talking about. That is fantastic. That's what we have been missing for the last 2 years. And you're seeing it. And I think that's why the internet was flooded with those videos of people cheering, is because we haven't done that literally since Endgame.
Right. But that's not what I'm kind of getting at, though. It's
I know. I just went on a tangent.
Yeah. It's not the reaction videos. But like, there's times when it's done right. Like, we had no idea Luke Skywalker was going to appear at the end of The Mandalorian. And how did that feel? Because you had no idea that was coming. If we had been debating that for 6 months before it happened, and then it happened, nobody's crying, doing all that stuff. And
but now,
so I think that...
Here's the thing. Whose fault is it, though? It's not our fault, because at the time, not me and you, I mean the public's fault, because it's not our fault for speculating. I think the fault lies in the fact that they did announce that Melina was in it and what's his name? Green Goblin was in it. We knew that. So
there was things they told us, right?
Right. So they tell us that. We find that out. Of course, you're going to speculate everybody else, all the other characters are in it, too. You and I, even back 30 years ago, once we heard multiverse, something like that, we would have had the conversation. Do you think Tobey Maguire's in it? Do you think Garfield's in it? Who else could they pull in? What else is going to be? So I don't think the internet's at fault. It's just a larger audience taking place.
Nobody's at fault. Like, I'm not throwing blame at anybody per se. It's just people, you know, the internet does what it does on a larger scale than you and I sitting, you know, it's the same thing that we're doing. On a global scale, right?
Right.
But as I was watching that movie, I felt a little cheated out of those moments because I didn't get the reaction out of them I should have gotten. I loved, you know, again, they were great.
I
enjoyed the hell out of all of that. But like when Matt Murdock shows up on the screen, I was just like, oh, of course, there he is, you know.
See, now, all right, let's break that down for a second. You know? Let's break that down for a second, because I thought with my keen eye, remember,
we thought it was a completely different scene.
Correct. Well, to be fair, they never showed that scene that was in the trailer where the arms come down on the side. They never they showed him sitting there, but that guy never put his arms down. But you did see the character that was that guy, and he was just a cop. And right. he had the same scruff. He had the same arms. He had the white sleeve. I mean, he basically, he could have passed for Charlie Cox.
Right.
And I thought that they were screwing with us. And I think they were. I think, like, because when I saw that, I was like, you son of a bitch, there is a person that looks like Charlie Cox. Maybe he really isn't in the movie. And it gets you, because you're thinking, oh, I want him to be in it. I want him to be in it. And then right. you see all the evidence that everybody was speculating online. Oh, is that Charlie? I wasn't the only one, but is that Charlie Cox's arms? Is that him? Is that? And right. then you see the cop that it is, and you're like, oh, shit. Whoops. Yeah. See? It's it wasn't him. And then they hit you with it, and you're like, and it was such an obscure part of the show, the movie, right? It wasn't like a big, they just came into the kitchen and he's sitting there. And I thought that, and everybody went nuts in my theater. Everybody went crazy.
Well, they did. Yeah, everybody went
crazy.
And
it was awesome. I wish he was in it more. Yeah. I understand why it wasn't, but I thought that was just fantastic. And then when he catches the brick.
Yeah.
Coming really through the window, lawyer. And he's yeah, he goes, how did you do that? I'm a good lawyer. He's like, wait a minute, that doesn't answer the question.
Right.
So I that being the first, and I also heard, I did not know this, I have since heard, he was the first crossover, supposedly, with Spider-Man in history, in comics. Supposedly, oh, really? Daredevil was the first crossover for Spider-Man in the comic book world.
It might be.
And I didn't know that, and it's just, you know, because you start reading, like, you start going into the places once you know the spoilers, you want to find spoiler stuff to chat with people about, and I happened to come across that, and I was like, oh, I didn't even know that. That's pretty cool. I heard somebody say that Spider-Man, you know, this is, was it in the movie? It might even have been in the movie. Like, Spider-Man doesn't do... you know, group thing, like crossovers and stuff. And I'm like, I thought he always did. I'm like, he was the big one.
In the comics? Or yeah. The movie, or what?
He crossed over
with everybody. Yeah.
Right. X-Men, yeah. He was everywhere. Because he was their big draw. Right. So
I mean, he was part of the Fantastic Four at one point.
Right.
Right. He was an Avenger. He was part of every team. So,
I heard somebody say, like, this isn't like him. It's like, he's not really a crossover person. And that's what's so cool about this. What? No.
We met him in the MCU in a crossover.
So I know.
So I was going to say, even just MCU people that would say that would also be wrong.
Right.
Because that's how we were introduced to him.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people whose only knowledge of Marvel is the MCU. And I get that.
Right.
But even in that context, I mean, we met him in a giant crossover movie.
Right. Right. Maybe it had to do with how... Garfield and Maguire weren't crossovers.
True.
They had
right.
no
and
other
they
team
have,
ups.
Right.
And
even
he's
in
not
their...
big on the team up. And I'm like, maybe. And I was like, no, Spidey's big on team ups. He's huge in that.
But in their worlds, there were no other.
Right.
Like, there was that big joke about the Avengers and all that stuff.
Yeah.
There was
like,
no
that's
Avengers.
Cool.
There
What's
was
that?
No other. Yeah. They didn't know how to do teamwork. I mean, right. that was part of that. I mean, that was like a gag that they had.
That was
for
part of
it.
Yeah. The, yeah. yeah that where. And. Yeah, Tom Holland's Spider-Man had to teach them how to work as a team because that's what he does.
Right.
And now what's funny is by the end of the movie, here we go, you and I jumping around. By the end of the movie, he's just like them. He's all alone now.
Yes.
Again.
But the difference is the other characters still exist in his world.
Right.
So they may not remember that Spider-Man is Peter Parker, but they haven't forgotten Spider-Man. Like, I don't think Doctor Strange forgets teaming up with Spider-Man. He just doesn't remember who it was. You know what
Good
I mean?
Good call.
Like,
That's a great call. Yeah.
He probably still remembers Titan and Thanos. You know, he can't forget that stuff. He just doesn't
He just know realizes that, he never learned his identity. He
exactly.
thinks he doesn't know his identity. Like, he hasn't known
Which
it
that
at
is
all.
Actually, that is a big, that's what Daredevil did in the comics. You know, like, that's kind of ripped right out of Daredevil.
Okay.
Because, like, Daredevil, I forget exactly how it is, but they cast some kind of spell, so everybody that knew his secret identity forgot, and they still had to start all over again. And that's kind of what they're doing here with Spider-Man.
Right.
But yeah, like I said, the Avengers will remember, at least I'm assuming, they'll remember teaming up with Spider-Man. They just won't remember.
Or that it's Peter Parker. Parker. Yeah. Right.
And so does he, now the thing is, does he just, you know, swing into Avengers compound and just pull his mask off and say, hey guys, I'm Peter Parker. Or does he try to keep it a secret now going forward?
Right.
I don't know why he would.
Why you would what?
Keep it secret from the
Avengers.
Hero.
From
yes,
the heroes.
I understand why at the end, again, jumping around, but if you're listening to this, you've seen it. We know why at the end he decided not to reveal himself back to MJ and Ned.
Right. The same reason at the end of Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, he said no to MJ.
Right. Because it's for their protection.
Right.
But he's not going to be out to protect Stephen Strange or anything. So,
right.
Like, if I'm him, I just swing right over to the Sanctum Sanctorum and say, hey, by the way,
tell
you don't
the whole story.
Me. But I'm Peter Parker, you know?
Right. That's so, how you, yeah, exactly. That's how you get
because again,
friends
does
back.
He, I don't know if Doctor Strange, see, that's the whole thing because it depends on what happens in Multiverse of Madness. But like, does Doctor Strange not remember the entire events of his last 3 days or does he just not remember Peter Parker's identity?
Right.
Like, does he remember some dude going up to him and saying, cast a spell? And
well, he must. Does he remember
right,
doing
so.
The spell? Because you remember earlier in the movie when he was talking to Wong?
Yeah.
And he goes, you can't do that. That spell doesn't work. And he goes, yeah, it does. He goes, we've used it many times. And he's like, when? Right. He goes, well, don't you remember that party? And he goes, no, exactly. Right. So he right. has used it in the past, but he remembers using the spell.
Right, but that spell was probably specifically for Wong to forget the party, not for the whole world to forget.
Not for the
Peter
whole
Parker's
world.
Identity.
Okay. Good but, call. Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. It depends on what that all is. But I don't think it erases events because everybody in the world still knew they recognized Spider-Man. Like they
oh, yeah.
knew he still existed. So they probably were aware that he did all was part of all these team ups or blah, you know, whatever. They just. Like I said, they just don't remember who he is.
Right.
So I think that's at some point it will all slowly unfold again. He'll
well,
whenever he teams up next with somebody, he'll pull off his mask because
right.
they don't pay Tom Holland to keep his mask on for 2 hours. They're going to take it off and he's going to
yeah.
tell whoever's with him in that scene what his real name is because that's
right.
what he does.
So, yeah, exactly. But I thought so. The next Tom Holland Spider-Man movie, which,
right.
aren't they saying, did I hear that right? There's another trilogy on the way?
So they, well, Amy Pascal, who is the producer of the Spider-Man movies,
mm-hmm.
let slip, you know, a couple weeks ago.
We talked about that, right? It was right after Holland said, I'm done.
Right. So she says that there's three more movies in the works and Tom
it's
Holland
so good
is,
at keeping secrets.
Still our Spider-Man. But Tom Holland hasn't backed off the fact that he hasn't signed on yet for these movies. So
yeah, that's negotiating,
could,
like we said before.
But it could,
yeah.
Right, but it could also be the next trilogy of movies with somebody else. I mean, maybe it's not Tom Holland anymore. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
Again, I don't know how you can't recast him and then keep Zendaya in. Like, again, if you're going to reboot, you have to reboot. And then they're not technically the next trilogy anymore because you're not building off of what just happened. So
true.
I think that they are like one of the new stories that we would have talked about tonight is that Kevin Feige has talked about how they're already actively developing Spider-Man 4. And
Maguire's
so,
or this
no,
one.
This one.
See,
yes.
now we don't yeah. know.
Because well, no, well, because that would be Spider-Man 3. That Maguire's
no,
movie would be 3.
No, that would be
he's
four.
Only had 2.
Maguire had 3. Garfield had
Tobey
2.
Tobey Maguire. Oh, Garfield. That's right.
Garfield had 2. Maguire
yeah,
had
yeah.
3.
But no, they're working on the next, you know, the next Spider-Man 4, Tom Holland's movie.
Okay.
And so I think it's all a done deal, right? Like these things are, it's going to happen. I just think that, again, I don't know if Tom Holland has put his X on the, I don't know if he's made his mark on the line yet.
And, right.
And they've nailed it down. But, you know, again, you know, in the middle of the pandemic, we hit $300 million yesterday for this movie.
Domestic. That's not worldwide.
They're
going to
back the, right. So they're going to back the money truck up for Tom Holland and,
yeah.
you know, keep this train rolling. And, you know, end credit scenes aside, you know, I mean, there's more story to tell here. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, the end of this movie was kind of a soft reset for Spider-Man. Like, I think the next movie is more like your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, and he's probably not going to be involved in
right
the next big world-shaking crisis. And it's kind of like, you know, like we said, it's a, you know, he lost his Uncle Ben, which was Aunt May. You know, yeah. he had his great so, responsibility moment.
Did you, as soon as she said that, did you know she was about to die? Like, be dead?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, because, as soon as you hear it, you're like, oh, they're killing her off.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I mean, it just made sense.
How it makes sense.
If they were standing on the sidewalk, and I would have thought, okay, something's going, but she'd already been stabbed, she'd been injured, and then she says that.
Like a piano's going to fall on her.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was that, as soon as she said it, I was like, oh my, and that to me, that was a wow moment for me. I didn't see that coming either,
because I felt like this iteration of Spider-Man already had that great responsibility moment. Like, he didn't need that moment. He had already taken on that responsibility. Yeah,
but that's an interesting part of this, is because we know we're getting an origin story of Tom Holland's Spider-Man. Now we don't know what that is.
Well,
because
it's not
going to be the typical one that we know of Uncle Ben dying and him learning great responsibility.
Well, and they did set that up all throughout this movie, though, because
I
lost count of how many times he said, you know, this isn't my responsibility. This isn't my problem. I just want to go to college, or I just want to do this.
Right.
And so they were definitely setting that moment up, but I didn't see it coming. Like, I wasn't quite ready for the switch from Aunt May to becoming Uncle Ben.
Right.
And,
but he literally became the true sense of Spider-Man, like Tobey Maguire did and Andrew Garfield did. The loner, the Spider-Man that we know. Whereas, that to me, that's another part of this movie that is so amazing to me, is that they did such a good job bringing Spider-Man into the MCU, obviously with Civil War is the first time we see him. Then we get Homecoming, where we're right into the middle of Spider-Man's life. And he's part of, like, he's like Tony Stark Jr., basically, through most of the MCU. And they did such a good job of it that Spider-Man fans didn't care. Right. We didn't care that it wasn't the true Spider-Man that we know. And it didn't even dawn on me until the end scene, when he's swinging through New York in his new suit that he made, that you're like, oh my God, that I can't wait for four. I can't wait for the next one. This is the real Spider-Man, you know, because he's got, we'll get to that. I don't know when you want to get to it, but one of my favorites, the web shooting scene.
Oh yeah. That's what I'm saying. There's no Ned anymore to, you know, make
Ned
webs
in the
for
chair.
Him.
Yeah.
There's no,
he has to do it
anything.
Himself.
He's on his own. Right.
Which Spider-Man always was.
Right. He is.
Amazing friends.
He took the 6 movie route to get to, like, the beginning of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know?
But see, as much as Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire and Willem Dafoe and what's Molina's first name?
Alfred Molina.
I can't even say it, but you know what I mean. As much as that wasn't a surprise as you'd want it to be, and you're 100% right, it would have been so cool if we got the same treatment that we got for Luke in Mandalorian. Nobody saw that coming. But that's what makes, to be fair, that's what made that so special, that Luke entrance, because it's so hard to pull off. Now, to pull that off in this movie and this magnitude and filming like this, it's almost impossible. So, but
well,
I think
it is and it isn't. Like, you could, like, I was thinking about it after that movie. And, you know, I'm in a unique situation because I have a comic book store that, you know, people come into and talk. And I have this show where I'm constantly looking for news stories that we can talk about. But if it wasn't for this show, I would insulate myself right now from all of that.
Right.
I would unfollow every comic book. Like, I would just wipe it out of my life. I probably would just get rid of social media altogether.
Right.
And then I would go into these things with a little bit more surprise or
ignorance.
Spontaneity. I couldn't, again, unless I closed my store, which I'm not going to do, I couldn't cut it out completely.
Right.
But I mean, I could really cut it down a lot. And maybe, you know, this was the first movie where it really bothered me.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's been happening.
Because you wanted that surprise.
Doing,
you love Spider-Man.
Since we've been doing this show, it's been happening. You know, again.
Sorry.
If I didn't know they were, well, but I'm just saying, like, if I didn't read that they cast Rosario Dawson to be Ahsoka in The Mandalorian, when I popped on that episode, I would have been like, sweet, look at this, you know?
Right.
I mean, I think that
But you're not that person, though. Do you want to
be that person, though? I could be.
So you want to be, like, in a bunker in your house, just absorbing the information as it gets released?
I would read comics. Like, I'm not saying, like, I wouldn't still do some of these things, but I would cut out social. I only keep social media going at this point for my store and for this show. Like, I don't even follow most people that I'm friends with. Like, I would just get rid of all of
it. Oh, I know.
You know? I keep it going to get stuff to talk about on this show and, you know, to promote my store and all that stuff. And I would be okay getting rid of all of that stuff. You know, again, if I go to the movies, I would probably see the trailer for the next Spider-Man movie at that movie. But I wouldn't be seeking it out. I wouldn't be going and watching it on my store for.
See,
you know,
I love that stuff. I love.
Yeah,
because
I think that's part
of the game. I think they lead you in certain directions. That whole Daredevil with the arms and everything. I think they're leading you in a direction. They're rope-a-doping you. They're showing you something that never is even going to be in the movie. I find that fascinating. I think it's fun. I think they're having fun with it as well.
I'm sure they are.
It's part of the game.
It's how they tease. That's how they tease. But, you know, again, my wife goes into most of these movies blind. Like, she doesn't follow
any
of that
stuff. My wife goes into all of them blind.
She doesn't follow any of that stuff. The only news she hears is what she picks up while listening to our back to our show. But she goes in, like, we sit down to watch The Mandalorian or whatever, and she has no idea what's coming. She doesn't even know who Ahsoka is. You know?
That's what I mean, so, but that's a completely different animal. You would never be that person, right?
Well, no, I would know Ahsoka because I would have watched Clone Wars,
right?
But I could still be surprised that she showed up somewhere if I wasn't, you know, following that stuff. I don't know. Like I said, this was the first movie where it kind of really bothered me that I wasn't surprised by anything, like literally anything in that movie.
I guess I was surprised when May died.
That was it. You know?
Well, no, and that's what I was going to get to. I was surprised, not in the sense that, oh my God, they're in the movie, but at the place, at the time, the way they paced this movie, I thought was genius. So they open the movie with the end of the last one, where he is actually... This movie came out right after No Way Home, Far From Home came out right after Endgame in July.
It was a few months. Yeah, it was supposed to take place a few months after Endgame.
Right.
And this one picks up literally
right after that.
Yeah, literally the minute the other movie ends.
So back in July of, what was that, 2019, we end, you know, Far From Home. Where he's like, oh, he's been outed, everything, and he's being accused of murder. I thought that was going to play a lot more into the movie, and it was all swept under the rug in 5 minutes.
They did. It was more like, Happy, he's going to get in trouble, but you're okay.
Right. Yeah, Happy needs a good lawyer.
Because Matt's a good lawyer.
Right.
And I guess Matt wasn't going to extend his services for Happy.
I know.
He's like, I got Peter off, but you're on your own, buddy. You're going to need a good lawyer.
Yeah, you're going to need a good lawyer. So, but
yeah, I thought that was going to play a bigger part in this as well,
so,
and it really didn't.
Right. And so for me, watching the movie, I felt like, at hindsight, I love it. But in the moment, I was kind of disappointed. I wanted a little bit more of that. Then, as they went on, I thought the movie, and what I did say, I didn't lie when I said I thought it was okay, and I thought it was slow at times. And I thought, and that's what I say about the pacing being genius, is I thought the first hour of this movie, and it's 2.5 long, but I thought the first hour was kind of a little bit slow. It wasn't your typical action Spider-Man movie. There was some good comedy in it, and there was stuff, but it was building. And you don't know that at the time, but then the last hour and a half, everything that took place in the first hour all comes together and pieces start coming back together. And you're like, now, and you're ramped up the rest of the way. So to me, like you said, as much as it wasn't a reveal surprise that those characters showed up, I thought it was a great, like, surprise moment when they did finally show, and you're like, oh, there they are. All right, now they're there. And the big surprise, I think, it wasn't a character showing up in the movie, but this is what I was going to get to. It was the fact that we didn't, this entire run of Spider-Man, his three movies and his other appearances, was never a true Spider-Man, and it didn't even dawn on you until the end of this movie. And to me, that's a surprise. That's like as big as Aunt May dying. And you're like, wow. Yeah. Because after the other question I wanted to ask you is, does that mean Tom Holland's not even like 616? Because Uncle Ben didn't die. What universe is this? Because this is not your typical Spider-Man universe, right? Because Uncle Ben dies in 616.
Well, in the comics.
Am I right? That's what I mean.
Yeah, in the comics. I don't know, because this world has, but it has the Avengers and it has all the other heroes, which are the 616.
But you could have, right, but you could have a 617 where they're still the same, but Uncle Ben didn't die. Because, you know what I mean? That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I guess it probably would have come up when the other ones were talking about their Uncle Ben's, but like there could have been a Ben that died. It just wasn't impactful to his journey to being Superman.
Right, but that's like, not the Spider-Man origin story that we all know.
Yeah, because May could have had a Ben, you know.
Oh, I'm sure she did.
Who died.
Yeah, I'm sure she did. It just
wasn't
right
impactful to his origin.
Right.
Like, you know. But even like the Garfield one, like when he was talking, his catalyst wasn't Ben dying. It was Gwen dying.
Gwen.
Because
but Ben did die.
He did, but his kind of great responsibility moment was Gwen dying. Because when they were all on the rooftop talking about their moments.
Oh my God.
That's what he talked about. You know, Toby talks about Ben, but Andrew says, well, for me, it was Gwen.
And
so
let's go right there. I think he like kind of stole the show. I think
Garfield.
I thought he was incredible. Willem Dafoe was awesome. I thought.
So was Jamie Foxx, actually, who was like so not good.
I thought Jamie Foxx was really.
I thought he did a good job.
I thought he was really cool. You know, it was like I loved his. He had great. Timing on that humor, like the delivery of of his sarcasm and stuff and everything. It's like when they were talking about like, oh yeah, I fell in a bucket of eels. Well, yeah.
Right. That'll do it.
Yeah. Don't want to do that. But I thought Garfield was like, the acting, the emotion that I was heartbroken. I was like, I know the story. What the hell? Right. And then when that plays out again, when he saves MJ,
right.
And he's like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, are you? Because he's like, I finally did it.
I got the save, right.
Yeah, he got the save. And it's the exact same save, too.
Right.
Right? And it's funny, looking back at, I've actually started watching the other Spider-Mans over.
Oh, yeah, see, I haven't yet.
But Tobey Maguire, he gets that save in the first one. Remember, he has to jump off the bridge, save her, swing underneath, and get the trolley full of kids. Because, you know, that's what Spider-Man can do.
Right.
How about, this is a tangent just because I said trolley full of kids. Andrew Garfield talking about pulling his punches. Yeah. And him saying, because, you know, in the like, Spider-Man has always pulled his punch because he could kill anybody
right.
with a single punch. Because, like, right. if a guy can catch a trolley full of kids in one hand,
yeah.
hold a girl in the other hand, and grab a bridge, you know, it's like the strength that he has that it, even like when Tobey Maguire's with in Spider-Man in 2 when he holds up the building. That fell on him. I mean, Spider-Man is super, super. A lot of people strong, forget right. how super strong he is. And for Andrew Garfield to say, I stopped pulling my punches. I'm like, right. I want that movie. It's yeah. like, I want to see, because we didn't get
that. I want to see that.
Yeah. I want to see. That was Spider-Man 3 that we never got. And you thought the dark suit was evil.
Right.
What is it like when Spider-Man stops pulling his punches? It's, I mean, a lot of people are going to die. So yeah. I thought that was a very, I thought, I don't know if you'd call it an Easter egg, but I thought it was a really cool little blurb in there that if you know,
well,
a lot of people
don't
realize.
Unfortunately, it's an Easter egg to go to something that we're never going to get, right? Like,
I don't know. There are rumors of him.
Well, they're talking, well, because people want it. But
well, yeah,
I don't know that we'll get yeah. it. You know?
I saw one guy on my home theater, Scott Mendelson, I think his name is, yeah. and he goes, all of you people that wanted Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man 3, should have showed up to Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Exactly.
And it's like, because I liked it.
That's yeah. why it didn't get made, though, because nobody went to it.
Nobody liked the first two, you know, right. but now, oh, it's in the MCU, and it's like, you got to get it. You got to get back to it, right. Which I think it'll be great. I liked the first two. I mean, we'll get to our Spider-Man rankings later, yeah. but I still liked them, just like I liked the lowest ranking MCU movie.
Right. They were okay. I didn't think they were great, but they were okay.
I thought he was
But again,
good.
I haven't seen those movies in 15 years, probably, you know, or whenever they, I don't even know how
old
they are.
I don't think
they're
that old.
But whenever they came out, that's yeah. when I saw it. You know, I haven't really seen it since, so it's hard to remember.
Yeah, they can't be 15 because, you know. I mean, Spider-Man 3 is probably 15 years old. Tobey Maguire's.
I mean, the MCU at this point is 15 years old, right? So.
Yeah.
Yeah, they came before Iron Man.
You think?
I think
Iron Man was 2008. Let me see. I'll look it up right now. Amazing. Take a guess. Amazing Spider-Man. Oh, actually, and you know what? And this is the other thing. Big reveal for you, John. Big, okay. huge.
Huge?
So, huge reveal. And okay. I should have known the date
of
the Amazing Spider-Man. Amazing Spider-Man, the year it came out. Okay, I have yeah. it in front of me. As soon as it hit, I was like, I wanted to put this in the show. I have no notes because we didn't have time. We just had to jump on and do this, right? Right. So, the Amazing Spider-Man... So if Andrew Garfield, now he's in the MCU, Tobey Maguire's in the MCU, so by extension, all those movies are now in the MCU, and I've actually put them all in my folder on my Zapedi, so they are all, you could scroll through all of them.
All right.
They all show up in the MCU, which is pretty cool to see them scroll. but anyways, did you know, John, Brightside Chat,
I feel like
it's now
no.
officially in the MCU.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh.
I did not know that.
You did how not know that?
No.
So, here's how. So, who played Captain Stacy in The Amazing Spider-Man in 2012? It was Dennis Leary.
Okay, I was saying, I don't remember. Dennis Leary, you're right.
So
okay.
Dennis Leary, now normally you run into somebody, you know, I'm going to say Dennis Leary, friend of the podcast. So what happened in 2011, Bruins win the Stanley Cup.
Right.
All right. I remember Todd Baker, we yeah. graduated with. Todd yeah. Baker, buddy of ours, we went to high school with, really wanted to get to a game. Him and he's friends with Craig Barkhouse. Barkup, you remember Craig.
Yeah.
And so I gave him a couple of tickets. They went to game one of the Stanley Cup Finals. And months later, Todd calls me up and he's like, I really want to thank you for that. You didn't have to do that, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, and this is what we're going to do. And I'm like, all right, what are we going to do? Well, he's like best friends with Dennis Leary.
Right.
He was in his wedding. He was, I mean, he's, they both live in Connecticut. And he goes, well, Dennis Leary has an outdoor rink and you want to come down and play hockey with us. And I'm like, all right. So January 2012. We're sitting, I get the call the night before. He's like, oh, we don't have a goalie. Can you bring your son? Well, yeah. So we got to play on the outdoor rink. Dennis Leary sitting there. Well, fast forward, we had a great time. We had like two and a half hours of skating. It was like 10 degrees out. It was freezing, but it was awesome. He has almost a full-size rink in his yard. This is how we get into the MCU, my friend. He's like, guys, have fun. I got to take off. He had to fly back to film some reshoots for The Amazing Spider-Man, which was coming out in a few months. So he's like, I'm playing Stacy. I'm like, what do you mean to me? We're sitting here with Stacy, Gwen Stacy's dad? And he's like, I got to get out of here. And was like, so if I hung out with Gwen Stacy's dad in The Amazing Spider-Man, that means if The Amazing Spider-Man is in the MCU, that means I'm in the MCU, which means Brightside Chat is in the MCU. Don't at me.
It's a stretch. It's a stretch, but...
And I don't even want to get into how close I am to Kevin Bacon now.
Yeah. Less than 6 degrees.
Far less, actually.
1 degree.
Yeah.
1 degree from Kevin
so
Bacon.
So we are 1 degree from the MCU.
All right.
Let's call it that. I'll take it.
I don't know if anybody else is going with us on that, but I'll
I don't care. I don't care. So good times, but anyways, so yeah, so yes. So The Amazing Spider-Man, the first one came out in 2012.
So it was after Iron Man. I didn't think there
was after Avengers.
Yeah. I was just saying, I didn't remember other like Marvel movies coming out after Iron Man. Like I thought
Sony had it, right?
But I just didn't remember them coming afterwards. I kind of thought once the Marvel ones, once Marvel started, there was nothing else happening, but I guess they were still doing Spider-Man movies. But still, all right, so I haven't seen it in almost 10 years. So it's been a long time.
Right. Yeah.
You know how many movies I've seen in 10 years? Lots.
At least 10. Maybe more.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah. Don't remember how good that movie was or wasn't.
We had a good time with it. I thought it was good when we, I mean, we're always up for a Spider-Man movie, so.
Of course.
I mean, but, all right, let's get back on track, which is no track at all. Spider-Man.
Yeah,
no
say
way
we're
home.
Just all over the place, though.
We are all over the place. Giddy with, like, you put it great. It's like, we were good this year because we got a hell of a present from Santa. Spider-Man No Way Home. So, yes. Willem Dafoe. I thought
fantastic.
And
Alfred Molina too.
I know. We'll get to him in a second. But I wanted to talk about, because I went back and like I said, that one I've watched and I've got a little bit left of Spider-Man 2 with Alfred Molina. But Willem Dafoe, when you go back and watch the first Spider-Man movie from 2002, so that is 20 years. It's 19 years ago. It'll be 20 years. In a couple months, right?
A couple weeks.
Well, yeah, but the movie came out in like, I think, May. Yeah. But yeah, so Willem, remember the scene in Spider-Man? We broke this down for chat a little, you know, a couple of years ago, I think.
Yeah.
When he's in the mirror, Willem Dafoe, and he's doing the evil face and the good face. Watch that. I just, watching him in Spider-Man from 2002, I have a new appreciation for what he did even in No Way Home, because he's so good with that face manip. He doesn't even need the damn mask.
No.
To, you know, because he's just so, he can flip the switch like that with his facial features and just be like evil and then sorry and evil. He's like, I don't know what to do. And it's like, but neither face is his normal face.
Right.
Which is pretty cool, because like when he does that pathetic, sorry face, you're just like, that doesn't look like him. But then when he does the evil one, he's like, and he talks with the gravelly voice. Yeah. He was just so good. And then, like I said, go back and watch Amazing Spider-Man, and you're like, or not Amazing Spider-Man, Spider-Man 2002, and you're like, man, I don't think we appreciated it as much. And no. I don't know why, as I do now.
Well, and I love the callback to, I'm somewhat of a scientist myself.
Right, you know? Which is the exact line that he had.
Yeah, it's like, which was awesome.
Yeah, and it was, and that's what's like, funny. No, it's like, great. When I heard it, I was like, I think that's pretty much exactly what he said. And then going back and watching the movie, you're like, oh my God, it was exactly what he said,
right,
standing on the steps outside right at the beginning of the movie. But yeah, he was so, so good. But what
now,
were you
the question I had, well, I had a question though.
Okay.
In regards to some of the other villains, because now again, I haven't seen these movies in a long time, so maybe I don't remember, but the crux of the whole reason why they were showing up was because they knew Peter Parker was Spider-Man.
Correct.
Because right? Because basically part of the spell was
anyone,
you know,
in
anybody
the multiverse
that remembered
that, knows
that knew he was Spider-Man would still
is
know.
Show up.
Well, would still know. Which still doesn't translate to why they were showing up in our world, but I'll go with that. But
because that was
because the spell was. Because the spell was basically like, if you already knew, you would still know. You know what I mean? You wouldn't forget. That doesn't mean, and we're going to pull you all into our universe. But I you know, it's a movie, so I'm going to let that go.
Exactly.
But I don't remember Sandman or Electro knowing that Peter Parker was Spider-Man.
See, I'll let you know when I haven't gotten there yet. But when we go back,
but that's what I'm saying, and I don't remember exactly. But you know,
but maybe
obviously
they found
Goblin,
afterwards.
Yeah, obviously Goblin knew. Obviously, you know, Molina knew. But I don't remember Sandman knowing that, because nowhere in that movie would he have discovered that identity.
Right,
and I don't remember Electro ever knowing it in that movie either. But again, haven't seen it in 10 years, so maybe he did. But so I had a question with that, and then. I know that the movie was already stuffed, so we can't pull in everybody. But then, like, why was there no MJ? Why was there no, like, Mary Jane knows Peter's identity? Like, there was other people that could have come too.
Right, who he's still married to. And I wanted to say, like, I was waiting for Tobey Maguire to say something about a kid or something. He just, all he did was say, like, he has a pretty good life. He's actually made a pretty good life, he said.
Yeah, and he says,
we worked it out. Yeah,
we
made it work.
So,
which I thought was really cool.
That again, you have to draw the line somewhere because you can't. The movie was already
pretty
stuffed.
Where's James Franco? That would have been huge.
Yeah,
and
the movie,
but they still
you can't
got
bring
him
in everybody,
right? But they kind of got him in there because Maguire is said he goes, "My best friend died in my arms."
Well, but also at the time, like if you're considering the point in time when, like, Norman was pulled into our universe at the point in time of his death. At that point in time, Harry didn't know Peter was Spider-Man. You know what I mean? Like, they were being pulled in at the moments of their death.
Oh, he knew he was Spider-Man when he died.
I don't think Franco knew then. He found out afterwards when...
After he died?
He found out in the second movie, right? Because in the first movie, he sees Spider-Man
James
late.
Franco.
Yeah, James Franco... Yeah. At that point in time, didn't know Peter was Spider-Man.
No. But everybody got pulled in at a different point in time. It wasn't always it was that individual's point in time. So you have time issues. You've got,
That's the whole thing. Because if you're pulling, let's say, because if now that I'm trying to work this out, if Norman was pulled in to our universe at the time of his death, then the Toby version of Spider-Man at that point wasn't married to Mary Jane. Like, when was he pulled in?
Well,
so
Toby,
I guess
that's
all
the thing.
Pulled in at different...
Right. Because look at the ages that they've all aged.
Right. So right. Exactly. They've aged. But
they've all aged. So I think they were pulled... Because they were pulled in... Actually, they weren't pulled in... Or maybe they were. They were,
right, because,
they were
like,
pulled in
because
by
Molina
Ned
says,
telling
I remember.
Like,
I remember going into the river... And then I was here.
Right.
Right. But even that happened after Norman's death. So the timeline, the time is kind of wonky there.
Everybody came in at a different time in their life, not in the time.
But they were coming from the same universe.
That's okay. But it, like, yeah, obviously Toby came from much later in his life.
That's what I mean. It doesn't make I'm just working it out as we're talking about it. But
yeah, because you're trying to get them all to come from the universe at the exact same moment in time.
And it doesn't work.
And it doesn't. And I didn't think they were insinuating that it was.
I didn't think they were either till I just started talking through it right now, you know?
Right.
Because I was trying to think of, okay, if Norman was pulled in at this time, then, like, where was he? It's weird because there's years between...
Well, you're nobody. You're just, I mean, now you're getting into time travel, John.
Well, the thing was he pulled from hell, though? Like, where was he pulled from?
Like, it was just pulled from that moment in time. It's like if you were in a time machine, if you go from here to 100 years from now, where were you for the 100 in between?
Yeah.
That's the question you're asking. It's like you're getting to...
Well, I know, but that's what I do.
John.
Well, that's what I do.
I was just going to say.
I never even started considering it.
You've been so good for so long.
Well, like I said, I didn't even consider any of that until we just started talking about it.
See?
Because you would think that they were all pulled from the same moment in time.
Yeah, no.
And if they weren't, then where was like the ether that... Norman was in for 20 years.
That's the thing.
Know?
It's like, I don't even remember seeing Garfield kill all those people. I think that happened after them. Like,
well, because did Garfield kill?
I don't think Dr. Connors. I don't think he killed him in the movie. Did he? I don't remember. That's why I want to go back and watch them.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. I think that was meant to say, like, that's when Andrew Garfield said, I stopped pulling my...
They're all destined to die at Spider-Man's hands.
Right, but it doesn't mean Spider-Man killed them, like, because he didn't kill Willem Dafoe. He got out of the way. But while battling Spider-Man, they were destined to die. So, and then you add in Garfield saying, I stopped pulling my punches, meaning movies we didn't get to see... He might have, that's what he did here. He killed them. So that's why I'm like, okay. Yeah. Speaking of Dr. Connors, just because it's all in my head right now, he was actually in Spider-Man 2002.
Dr. Connors was. He just never became the Lizard.
Right, but he had the one arm. Right. He was the correct.
Because wasn't he in Spider-Man? He was in Spider-Man 3, wasn't he? That was when Peter had the black suit. Because he was late to his class, and he didn't care because raindrops were falling on his head, you know, and he was doing all that emo stuff in the street.
Yeah.
So I think he was in the third movie. He might have been in the other two also, but...
Well, the one that showed up here was Garfield's.
Right,
that was Garfield's Dr. Connors.
But I know even in the Toby movies, they referenced Dr. Connors.
Right.
They just never got far enough in the franchise that he became...
He became the Lizard, right. Yeah. Because he was in one... And then he was, I don't know if he was in two, but he was referenced in two when he meets Melina and Dr. Octavius. And he goes, Connors. Oh, you're Connor's student. Yeah, I hear you're a genius, but so there, that's going on. I didn't even realize that, but he has the one arm. Oh, maybe that.
Right.
Yeah, that was actually, I'm sorry. Connors was probably in two. I've watched so many Spider-Man movies.
Well, like I said, I could have sworn he was in three as well.
Maybe,
because like I said, he was showing up late to class and all, you know, once he was going on the emo Venom trip, he started showing up late to class and doing things. And I think it was Connor's.
That's the beginning of two. Cause remember he gets fired from the pizza place too. Cause he's late.
Yeah.
So that's all in two. But that was cool how they tied all that. That would have been funny for, Alfred Molina to say to that Dr. Connors, like, oh, so there's another Dr. Connors too. Like he never even mentioned that because his Dr. Connors was a different person.
Right.
So that, you know.
Well, because they did. I was saying, did they reference him as Dr. Connors in this movie though?
Yeah.
Or was he always just Lizard?
Yeah, because they saved him at the end. They saved him at the end. They saved everybody at the end.
That's right. Well, and Jamie Foxx knew who he was.
Yep.
He knew he was Dr. Connors.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what else? What else? There's plenty. We got some other stuff to get to if you want to do that, but there's more.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sure there's more, but we're also got about 15 or so minutes left. So.
Uh-oh. All right. Let's, where does this fall into, if we tangents abound, but where does this fall in your MCU ranking? Because we both have revamped our MCU ranking.
Yeah, I think I put it at 3, right? I believe I put it at number 3.
You have it 4. You have Winter Soldier, then you have Avengers Infinity War after Guardians.
Right. And then, right. I have that basically as number 2. Infinity War's Endgame is one event at number 2.
Okay.
Guardians, I have Guardians at number 3 and then this one at number 4.
Okay.
So.
And you have
I think that's kind of still where I sit. Like, I haven't seen Guardians in a while, but I love Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
But as I see this movie for the second or third time, it may bump up to number 3.
See,
I don't know. I just don't know if it'll surpass Winter Soldier or like the Endgame combo for me.
It might get
to number 3, but that's probably as high as it's going to go.
Okay. So in my list, when I went over my MCU ranking, I redid a bunch of them because we also dropped in our Disney Plus shows.
Right.
Hawkeye
not being
in there yet.
I moved a couple of things around too. Like I moved Captain Marvel a lot further down the list.
Yeah.
Than what I had it where I had it originally. But again, some of this is also some of it's recency bias and some of it's like I was like, man, you know, I haven't seen
Captain Marvel
in a long time.
Right.
So it's like I don't know if I liked it as much as I thought I did. So it's hard because I almost would have put everything we've watched this year in the top 5 because we just watched them, you know?
Right, exactly.
So I was trying not to do that. But like, for instance, your list, you split Infinity War and Endgame with Spider-Man in the middle as the meat. You know, and that's the bread. So
exactly.
I still consider that one, I don't know, like I said.
See,
but if you combine those into one movie, then that puts Spider-Man number 2. Well, actually, you have Spider-Man number 2 either way. But,
so that moves it to exactly where it is.
It moves it to right where it is. But everything else would just move up a notch.
Okay, but let me explain to you why Infinity War and Endgame are separated and that you didn't even notice that after Endgame, I said Endgame was number 1.
I know. No, I did notice.
And I changed it. And
I specifically noticed that you changed that.
But. Yeah, and here's why. I'm starting to, especially with my other podcast, I'm starting to factor in rewatchability.
Yeah.
And I find Infinity War way more rewatchable than Endgame.
Yes.
Not because I just think Endgame is such a difficult movie because it's so heavy.
Yeah.
Right? But that end scene is fantastic. But right. Infinity War, it builds to such a great battle. It's fun. You go back into space and you get you're with the Guardians and that music comes on. I've seen it so many times. I love rewatching that movie. Spider-Man No Way Home, like you said, recency bias. I have that number 2 in all of the MCU because I have a feeling this is going to be highly rewatchable. And
oh, for sure.
And I love what it did, and that's why Infinity War and Endgame are bookends to this, are on either side of it, because of what they did for the MCU, what they did for movies in general, and what Spider-Man No Way Home did, the movie aside that we've just talked about, what it did, pulling in, the writing that they had to do, all of the stuff they had to do, the characters they had to bring in, make this all plausible, make this all entertaining. And now we have, for all intents and purposes, 9 Spider-Man movies in the MCU.
Right.
Because they pulled it, and they alluded to, but they didn't pull in into the Spider-Verse yet. But right. They did have that cool scene with Jamie Foxx where he's like, you know, you're from, Queens? He's like, I always thought you'd be black. Which I thought was cool for 2 points. It's one, it's alluding to Into the Spider-Verse. And two, the line that's in Into the Spider-Verse is kind of what made Spider-Man so popular. It could be anybody underneath that mask.
Right.
Right? So you could have been, you could have been any race. You could have been any gender, for all intents and purposes. Anybody in that mask, there was, you don't know. And now, like we know at the end of this movie, nobody even knows who Spider-Man is. So right. for all Jamie Foxx knows, it could be a black kid right. from Queens. It's like, right. so I thought that was, that's what made Spider-Man appealing even back then. It happened to be a white kid from Queens, right. Peter Parker. But that was one of the appeals to that mask, that suit and everything, is that whoever that is, it could be anybody to anybody.
Right.
And I thought that was, and they did that so many times in this movie with just one line just meant so much. And right. I thought that was cool. But like I said, Spider-Man number two, No Way Home, because how it just did all that, it brought right. everything in. And I think that's awesome.
Well, so here's the thing, you know, because again, we've got,
you got rain on my parade.
Well, we've got limited time now, so I want to get to this too, but like,
we can pause.
All the way leading up to this movie, we talked about the multiverse and what this movie was going to do for the multiverse. And this whole movie is multiverse, multiverse, multiverse. But then you get to the, like, I don't know if you were like me, we get to the end of the movie and the mid-credit scene, and it was like, we plugged the hole in the multiverse. Like, the multiverse is closed up. Because we undid everything that we did. Everybody got sucked back into their own universes and all everything was closed. And then you get to the last end credit scene where they start talking about Doctor Strange 2
and the Multiverse of Madness.
In the Multiverse of Madness. But like as we were getting to the end of this movie, and I was like, you know, at the end of Venom, we were so excited because they brought Venom into our universe. Now we just sucked him right back out again. So
right.
it's like everybody went home. It didn't negate the existence of the multiverse. But what I'm saying is it plugged all the leaks.
Right.
Like, there's no way to travel between them anymore. So I was like, did this movie just actually tease all this multiverse stuff? And then at the end of it, it just shut the door and closed it all up. But then we remember, oh, we've got this other whole movie coming up. Which
yeah.
the last end credit scene wasn't so much an end credit scene as it was just a trailer. For Doctor Strange 2. And then I was like, oh yeah, we have this coming, so we're still going to do more multiverse. But I was kind of like, at the end of this, I was thinking, man, we just shut the door to all of that because everybody went home, you know,
yeah.
and there's nothing left anymore, so...
Well, I think that's what this movie was supposed to be. Like, we've known for a while we're getting a multiverse in the MCU because of Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, right? right? As soon as they announced that, we started thinking, well, at the end of Spider-Man No Way Home, not yeah. No Way Home, Far From Home, we were like, what universe is that in? I heard, and right. I thought it was a plausible storyline that maybe at the end of Far From Home, that he is Far From Home. Maybe he ended up in Tobey Maguire's
right.
universe.
We thought he might have gone somewhere else.
Correct. So we knew we had an idea that maybe this movie would have something to do with a multiverse in it.
Right.
Now I think this, you know, No Way Home was just a quick glimpse into the multiverse. Right, it's a Spider-Man version of Into the Multiverse.
That's what it turned out to be,
but we're
going to
get a multiverse of madness later,
exactly.
where everybody starts coming in, and that's when it's going to be. I don't know. They could get, like you said, they could plug at the end of that one. They could plug the multiverse all back up,
right.
and maybe a couple characters stay behind, and that's where the MCU goes from there. But we also know just through the Eternals that we know all the different multiverses. So
right.
there's multiverses in everything, everywhere. I think this is just an idea of just get used to this, people. People are coming from everywhere and anything can happen. So I don't know.
Now, did you get the whole thing with a lot of people were questioning why Tom Hardy was pulled in? Because he had no knowledge of Peter Parker.
Right.
So
well,
do you
Yeah,
do
but
you
we
know
Venom
there?
Venom
right.
does. right? So well, Venom knew not, everything.
But not his Venom.
No, his Venom knows everything, supposedly, because that's what he said at the end of Venom 2.
Well,
Venom
right, there's
says
an explanation.
To him, goes like,
I'm
know
if-
everything, and it will blow your mind if I told you everything. And then when he was about to explain to him, they got zapped into Tom Holland's world, and he's like, hey, I know him. I think Venom knows all the multiverses. Like, he's
well, that's
just
what it,
very
it's a,
knowledgeable.
It's well, that's not quite it. That's what okay. I'm trying to explain. If you know the reason why, it's the hive mind. It's not that particular Venom character in the Tom Hardy movie.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Knows
yeah, yeah, yeah.
anything?
Right. That's
it's
a
that,
good point.
It's that the symbiotes themselves are a hive mind. So
right.
the Topher Grace version of Venom was part of that hive mind and uplinked all of his knowledge,
right.
which trickled down to Venom Tom
right.
Hardy, and that's how he knew and got sucked in. But that was the big question. People were like, well, why was he in there? He shouldn't know anything.
Right.
That's the reason. So it still is like, I guess the hive mind transcends multiverses though, right? Because
I guess
I still wouldn't think that would be the case, but that's yeah. what they're saying is the explanation. Because even if you have a whole planet of symbiotes in this multiverse, they shouldn't be linked to the other ones if they've never crossed paths with each other.
But, yeah, they well actually but here's
somehow
the thing.
They are.
Yeah, but here that what's funny is as soon as like when they left at the end of this one and a little piece of goo stayed behind.
Right.
So now that mind is they aren't they linked? Because that goo is gonna take over somebody. I had to explain that to somebody today too. They were like,
well,
that can't happen. What does that mean? I go, well, how did Carnage become Carnage? It's all part yeah. of the same it's goo.
And it's probably taking over Peter, right? Like I'm sure they're leading up to
Venom here?
Venom slash Spider-Man here, I would think. I mean, it could be Eddie Brock. There could be an Eddie Brock that he attaches to in this world, too, but
I think that's been
I think
done,
they're sort
so
of,
I think they're going to go with well, another story.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Like I said, maybe.
I'm not
I don't know.
Super familiar
to me,
with
there's
the
no
Venom
reason,
universe, but
I don't think there's much reason to leave it behind if it's not going to interact with the Spider with the
oh,
Spider-Man
I think it's,
movie.
It's going to interact. You know? I don't know if it'll become part of Spider-Man. Like,
yeah,
that, like we knew, like we know the story. I right. think this is going to be a different version, kind of like how Uncle Ben didn't die the way we, you know,
right.
in this one. So, yeah, I think just the idea that they're all crossing over the Venom universe yeah. is now in here. Then we get the whole Morbius. Where does that land? Right. Because that had Tobey Maguire. It had a poster of Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man in
right.
it.
Right. Well, and that's the other thing, because he's in Tom Holland's world, because he interacts
sure?
with Vulture. Well,
oh,
talking
yeah, yeah,
to Vulture.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
So he's part of
I forgot,
the
yeah.
Tom Holland oh. multiverse, right?
Right.
So why is there a poster of Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man on the wall? That was like, okay, I don't get it, because that shouldn't be there. Unless there's a Vulture,
the same,
you know,
Vulture,
unless Michael Keaton's
Vulture,
over there
yeah.
too. But
yeah.
But yeah, that the fact that he talks with Vulture in the trailer should cement him in basically in the MCU in the
right.
six, you know. And so that should have been a poster of Tom Holland, not Andrew Garfield. So
yeah. Yeah, that's yeah. Oh, you mean not Tobey Maguire?
Well, the post Tobey Maguire, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, you got to go take care of something through the magic of podcasting. We will yeah. be right back, and we're back through the magic of podcasting. There'll be nothing right there. It'll be like we'll
we
be back
left.
In a minute, and we're back,
right.
and this
right.
is the magic of podcasting. So John and I did a little shopping. He had a little thing to do there. We yeah. talked a little home theater, but we're back to talk more Spider-Man. It's so funny because we're like, we were gone quite a while.
We were gone at least an hour.
at least.
A little more than an hour.
Yeah. And we're like talking like we've been away for a while from them. And there's literally, when it's
they
all edited,
yeah.
there'll be nothing. So anyways. All right. Yeah. Oh, that's one of the reasons I wanted to come back is we were just talking the whole Venom thing, but we'll move on from that. And let's talk The one of the reasons why this is amazing to me, No Way Home, is that it solved the problem and actually gives meaning to the biggest flaw in a Spider-Man movie ever. Brought humor to it. It created the multiverse, because it's like, nobody in 2002 said, well, it's the multiverse, that's why he doesn't have web shooters, right? And now, we'll talk about the humor in a minute, but I thought that, I actually explained it to Zach today, the guy, our buddy that was actually down on the border before, he's back home, I was talking to him today. He didn't even know that.
Yeah.
When he saw, because he's young enough that he didn't know that that was a big deal, that he didn't have web shooters in 2002. He goes, oh, I just thought that was normal. And I was like, no. I was like, because that was when that happened, and I've said it before, it was basically what Garfield said. When we were growing up, and it was in this, every story, it was like he'd be fighting Electro, his webs wouldn't work, he'd go back to his lab, tinker, come back, and now his webs would be electrified, and they'd be able to hit, you know, they were negative charge, so they could handle Electro, whatever. And that's what Garfield said. He goes, oh, I had to invent mine, and then I had to manipulate, I had to do all this, which is, that was, to me, that was a huge part of who Spider-Man was, who Peter Parker was, the genius that could actually do this. And now they just turned it into the multiverse, created purpose in what I thought was the biggest flaw in any Spider-Man movie.
And then can we talk about how Peter Parker is exactly like me?
Like,
for 1 second.
Like
exactly
us.
Like me.
Like which Peter Parker? All of them. But they were like, when, yeah, that's what I was going to say. We'll get to the
shoot,
human.
Yeah, does it shoot from
just
anywhere
your wrist?
Else?
Anywhere else?
Because that's the first thing I thought. I was like,
I know.
I'd be shooting webs all over town, man.
I think you have.
I'd have socks sticking to the ceiling. Like, I don't know.
Why can't I swing off this stuff?
Yeah. Like, I can't get my sock off the ceiling, May. I don't know what's
May.
Going on. Ben, whoever.
Ben!
So.
Oh man, yeah, exactly. But that line,
it was awesome though.
That was just like, because every guy goes there, every guy is like, that's what you think, but to actually put that in the movie, I'm wondering if, like, when they said that, like, was that literally a line of dialogue, or was that something
ad-libbed?
That they ad-libbed and like, can we do this, can we it say this,
could have been ad-libbed,
because it's such a, like, it's so innocuous. Like, it's a great line, because if you don't know what they're talking about, for younger kids, they won't know what it means.
Right.
But when you know what it means, it's actually pretty, you know, that's a little risque, you know, for a Spider-Man
I'd be
kid,
like,
family movie.
We can't pull ourselves apart right now. It's more the problem. Like, we're stuck like this forever.
Oh.
So, I hope you're happy with your partner. Well, actually, it dissolves in an hour, right? Isn't that what they say?
So. Right. Yeah. That. Which one was that when he stuck him?
Well,
to
all,
the,
even in the comics.
Yeah, it was
like,
an
it
hour,
in an
couple
hour.
Hours. Yeah. One of them was 2 hours where he stuck
bring
the
a
guy
sandwich,
in the trunk.
Bring a sandwich because we're going to be together for a while.
That was
put on a movie. Yeah. <no.
laughs> How about the back cracking?
That was pretty cool too.
That was pretty cool. And that was really cool. And like a callback to Tobey Maguire getting all banged up making Spider-Man movies. Didn't he get injured like that? Like his back or something? I thought there was something like
I remember,
that was back in my when I could actually do audio commentaries and stuff all the time for everything. I don't know which one it was, but I swear he hurt his back or something.
Really?
So, yeah. And that's what I thought of. Like, oh, I wonder if that, but it was so funny. And the other thing I thought of, I'm like, my buddy Scott that I play hockey with, we go to Canada one time, we're in the hotel hallway, and I'm like doing that exact same move to him.
Yeah.
Because he had a bad back at the time. We're like two guys and you're like hanging on like, oh, all right. But hysterical. That was just, which one was it that said, I always wanted a brother? I thought that was a real, I got chills on that.
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember.
I got Toby? Chills on that.
Was it? No, might have been Andrew. Because Andrew's the one, he was the
most
Peter
emotional.
That seemed to, emotional and seemed to have like the most inferiority complex or like I'm not good enough complex.
Oh, yeah, because he didn't know he was amazing.
Right. Right. But that's what I'm saying. So it was probably him that he seemed like the most emotional about of the three of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He was, but that I thought was really, really cool to say, like, I've always wanted a brother. And that's why I got chills right. Because I'm like, imagine it'd be one thing if like you had a multiverse and you came through John Cerconi. Right. It's one thing if it's an identical, like a doppelganger, and you're like, oh right. My God, that's me. They all look different. And
which never really gets explained.
Well, it's a different multiverse. I mean, yeah, you can, I guess, in their multiverse, you don't have to look exactly the same. But they're all the Peter Parker, and look, that's what the other reason this isn't 616, because that's not Aunt May.
And no other Mays came through either. Of course, the other Mays are probably dead now because those movies are 20 years old.
That's true.
And they weren't young like Marissa Tomei.
Right.
So, none of those actresses came through either. So.
Right. But once this Spider-Man, this incarnation of Spider-Man, and we met Aunt May, we're all like, well, that's not the Aunt May I know, but
right.
I got web shooters to go with.
Exactly.
So it's like, all right, I'm on board. And that we were, for a society that loves to nitpick right now with social media, looking back at this incarnation of Spider-Man, we really didn't do it, because nothing until the end of this movie, like I said earlier, nothing about this incarnation was traditional Spider-Man.
Well, no, and I honestly, if we go back and listen to whenever we talked about Homecoming, I was very critical of the Tony Stark-ification of Peter Parker. You know, I was not really thrilled with the suit with the AI and,
right.
You know, we talked about how it downplays his spider sense and all that stuff. Like, I wasn't a fan of that. It grew on me over the years because that's what we had. But
yes,
but you know, like, in the beginning, I wasn't super thrilled with the way they were treating. I loved Tom Holland and I loved his take on the character, but I wasn't super thrilled with all the AI and all that stuff with the suit. And even in this movie, there was a lot of time, well, I guess really until the very end, but there was a lot of time with the Iron Spider stuff and the, you know, and to me, and I know that,
right.
I know that does come from the comics, but that is not my version of Spider. Like, exactly. I am not into that, you know.
But I think that shows the power of the MCU. We were just so excited to have Spider-Man in the MCU. We didn't care which version it was. We didn't ask for a traditional one, and we didn't. All we said is we wanted Spider-Man. Shame on us for not being specific.
Right,
we wanted the specific one from 616, but we end up enamored with Spider-Man. Tom Holland is great as Spider-Man. They gave us enough of exactly what of the heart of Spider-Man. The sarcasm, quippy Spider-Man, like you remember in Civil War when he's like, why is this guy talking so much? Like, you know, and that was something that we hadn't really had before. He was a genius. But it was kind of overshadowed by Iron Man.
Genius. Right.
Right. But the reason that Tony even knew who he was because of his like brains, his science. So you had that. Whereas, Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker, he was the photographer, he was the pizza guy, but he never was, he didn't have the lab that he worked out of. He was smart in school. That's about all he said. He worked with Dr. Connors, ended up working with Octavius because he was a smart science kid.
Right.
And but you never saw it demonstrated.
Like, he didn't have to develop his web formula or anything like that. So.
Right. Oh, he was developing it all right.
Well, he was,
So that, to me, that was that flaw in that movie. I thought Andrew Garfield had the best of both worlds. So in all honesty, I think Andrew Garfield's actual Spider-Man was the most accurate, you could say, to our traditional.
Until we get to the end of this movie.
till the end of this month. Yes.
And yes. Now, what? Because right. Now we have our traditional homemade suit
in
you
the
know, right. neighborhood Spider-Man, which is Tom Holland in the MCU.
Right.
You know, but like I said, yeah, it took us 6 movies to get there, you know, because there's 3 Avengers movies and then, you know, 3 Spider-Man movies.
3 Spider-Man so. Movies, Civil War, yeah, and yeah. all of them.
Endgame, Infinity War, you know, so it took them a while to come around to it. And I think now, yes, at the end of the day, we probably have the most authentic version of Spider-Man. To the point, although, where when he comes back again, Tom Holland's going to be like 30 years old. So it's not, you know, he's not getting any younger. So
Matthew Broderick pulled it off.
Yeah.
All right. Any other, well, I'm sure we'll have other thoughts if they pop up. You want to get to our Spidey ranking?
Sure.
Our all Spider-Man movies, including up to from 2002 to present day. You want to go backwards? Because I think backwards we're pretty even.
Our list is, we have 3, 4, and 5 different, and that's it.
Is that it?
Our 1 and 2, and then 6, 7, and 8 are exactly the same.
So our middle is a little flip flop. Oh, yeah,
Our middle is a little flipped.
Yep. And we also haven't put in, well, we said that earlier. We left it off.
We left it off the list because I forgot about it. That's right. Why, honestly.
No, I know where I have it.
Yeah, I was just thinking about
it. We'll get to that at the end because I think let's go through the list. So at 8, we both have Spider-Man 3. I think pretty much everybody does. Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man 3. At 7, we have Amazing Spider-Man 2. 6, Amazing Spider-Man. Garfield, obviously.
Right.
And then this is where we differ, and then we'll go back up to 2 and 1. So for number 2, we both have Spider-Man 2. And number 1, best Spider-Man movie, we both agree is Spider-Man No Way Home.
Right.
So where we differ is 3, 4, 5.
Right.
So why don't you say what you have for 5? And then after all this, we'll slot in into the Spider-Verse. So what do you have for 5?
My 5 is Far From Home.
Okay.
My number 4 is Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire, number 1.
Okay.
And then my number 3 is Homecoming.
Okay. Wow. You know what's so funny about this? So I put this together knowing how I feel about these movies. And Spider-Man from 2002, I always, for a long time, I think I had it above Homecoming. When Homecoming came out, because it was the first Spider-Man movie.
Right.
But when I was putting this list together, I have Spider-Man from 2002 at number 5. You actually have it higher ranked than I do. Yeah, and I've hung on for the longest time at that at number 1 because, like I said, it was the first one. And you remember what it was like for us in 2002. It was a huge, huge event.
It was huge.
Huge event. But adding in my rewatchability, now I can't say that, you know, 20 years later I'm going back to this all the time, although I did thoroughly enjoy watching this the other day.
Awesome. Some of this is also, for me at least, recency bias.
True.
I've seen the three Tom Holland movies a lot more recently than any of the other ones. We went through Spider-Man 1 not that long ago, and that's the only reason why I even watched that.
Right.
You know, because it had been 10 years since I had seen that movie.
Yeah.
So, and then we flip-flop. You like Far From Home more than Homecoming. I have it the other way.
Yeah. I think Far From Home is so much fun. It's such a great action movie. I just find it, I think they're both great. Right. I just think, like, my 1 through 5 is pretty much, I wouldn't say you could flip-flop them, but they're all just so close because they're so good. Like I said, my number 5 is Spider-Man was number 1 for the longest time. And now I have it down at number 5. So my Far From Home, I have Far From Home at number 3. You have Far From Home at number 5. Those are the furthest apart. But I just found it so entertaining.
I flip-flopped Homecoming
in
Far From Home.
I felt like Homecoming was a little bit more dramatic, like more of a drama than Far From Home. I felt it's a good movie, but I just had so much fun with Far From Home that that's why I add in that little bit more rewatchability. So that's why I put it at number three.
Right.
But yeah, and then Homecoming I have obviously at number four, right in between them. And I mean, like I said, they're all just great. Maybe next week I flip flop a couple of them, but right. I think No Way Home, it's going to be number one. I'll go first. My Into the Spider-Verse, it was my number one before this, but because of everything that it is just a fantastic movie, very, very creative writing, and the impact it had on society. I think it's just that alone.
I think we both have it in the same spot.
I have it number two.
Yeah, and
this No Way Home goes above it. I just think, and here's my reasoning, is they both deal with the same idea of Into the, it's basically kind of the same story, right?
It's very similar, yeah.
But
we get more characters into the Spider-Verse.
Do you though?
Well, we get Gwen, we get
you get Gwen,
we get Miles.
Miles. Well, Peter
Ham,
B.
Spider-Ham.
Spider-Ham.
Noir.
Noir, that's five.
So
that's five.
I'm just thinking more, like, we get three versions of Spider-Man in No Way Home. But I'm just thinking the other movie brings us Gwen and Miles. It brings us other characters.
Right. Yeah. But I think No Way Home actually has more characters because you have how many bad guys? Was it three?
Maybe,
three Spider-Mans and three? No, it's more than three bad guys.
It's five bad guys.
Five, yeah. So you have a lot more characters, actually.
It might be more physical, but again, three of them are Peter Parker. I'm just thinking we get
Well, you could say the Gwen, same thing and Into the Miles. Spider-Verse. Well, you get Miles, who's supposed to be Peter Parker, but he's not. Right. He's a different Spider-Man with a different name. But he's Spider-Man. So you're saying three Peter Parkers. I don't know. It's kind of like tomato, right? We're talking about Spider-Man.
Miles has never been Peter Parker. Like,
no, I know, but he is Spider-Man.
He's Spider-Man.
Right.
Yes.
So you could say we get three Peter Parkers. I could say in Spider-Verse we got two Spider-Men. So we only got two Spider-Man in Spider-Verse, but we got three Spider-Man in the other one.
I concede the numbers to you. What I'm saying is Miles and we got Gwen, which are two characters that we don't have in live action.
Right. At all.
I give you the numbers.
Right.
You win. But
right. No.
I'm talking about Miles and Gwen being unique additions that we got from Into the Spider-Verse that I think... for the public at large who didn't know either one of those two, like, everybody knows Spider-Man existed, you know,
right.
Most people out there prior to this movie were not aware of a Gwen or
a Spider-Gwen. They knew Gwen because Gwen was in Garfield's, but they knew they didn't know Spider-Gwen. They didn't know all those characters, to be honest with you. They didn't know. Which I don't know. So that kind of makes me want, I still put Spider-Man No Way Home number one because
I do too.
I like what it did with all of those other movies. It brought actual movie characters into their movie. Whereas Into the Spider-Verse, it gets credit for being, all right, we're going to bring characters out of comics and we're going to bring them all into one movie and do it in such a way that, we were literally blown away. So, I mean, they're basically the same movie. They just brought their characters from different places. For some reason, I just like the live action, you know.
I do too. But again, like you said, prior to this, I had Into the Spider-Verse as my number one movie.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just a no-brainer. Like, it doesn't slide any further than number two, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's just going to be
replaced. Well, now that No Way Home's there, it goes to number nine.
Yeah. It's like, okay, now it's going to go all the way to the bottom.
Right.
But again, I haven't, maybe I go back and watch Spider-Man 2 and maybe I like it better. You know, again, I haven't seen that movie in a long time. So I've seen Into the Spider-Verse three times in the last couple of years. So there is recency bias there, which we always say, but I still think at the end of the day, it's a better movie. So
yeah. Into the Spider-Verse. When was the last time you saw Into the Spider-Verse?
Well, I mean, within a year.
Okay.
I don't know exactly, but
if you go back to what I watched it probably in the last couple months, I did I just for fun, I was watching it in 3D. I don't know if I did a podcast on it, 3D and 4K, and it's phenomenal in both, but it is super entertaining. You might actually flip flop on that. I could see somebody
put
flip flopping
number one.
Yeah, because the music in it is so fantastic.
It is. It's super
There's
fun.
Some
it, right.
great. Because I'm thinking, like, you love Guardians and the music and everything and the entertainment
and honestly,
of
I
Guardians.
I love Peter B. Parker.
Exactly.
Like, I just think he's awesome.
Yeah. You know? So
and
you could.
I like Miles and I like Gwen. And I've always liked those. I like those characters already from their comics, from the comics versions.
And they have great humor. In that entire movie, so it's
I could go back. I could
see
myself
you flipping.
Going back
I could
and,
see
and
you
flipping.
I don't know if I would, but I could definitely see you doing it. Actually, to be fair, I could see myself doing it too if I got on a kick. You know, like a year from now.
But that's the thing. It depends on my You're mood so on a close. Given day when I watch something. You know, maybe I don't know, a little down, and that cheers me up, or something,
right.
You know, vice versa, and so. That plays a lot into, you know, which a lot of people don't consider, you know, when they talk about their enjoyment of movies, you know, where you were, like, what it kind of how it made you feel the first time you watched it will always stick with you.
Right.
But that's not always.
Unless it's Shazam.
Right. But that's not always the same across the board, because what was happening to me the day I went to see that movie might not have been happening to me. The day, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because your life changes every day.
Right.
And I think that definitely plays into how a movie strikes you. I talked a lot about Coda this year from Apple TV being like my favorite movie of the year. I haven't watched it again, but it could just be that I was in a funky mood or a sentimental mood that day when I watched it, and it struck all the chords that day.
Right.
And maybe it won't. It won't do that again. I don't know, but I think that's something that is not discussed a lot, but plays a lot into people's enjoyment.
I think you and I discuss it a lot. We definitely do, because we've used it. We've used that discussion on, like, just going back to Shazam, and we've talked about it many times. Like, how come you did? It, especially if we don't like something,
right?
Oh, you're in a bad mood. But and especially like that's what made me what hit me with Shazam is like the world loved it and I didn't, which is weird.
Yeah,
right. And that's usually the other way around.
It even goes back to something silly like, why didn't you guys like Ted Lasso the first time you watched it?
I did.
Then,
she didn't.
Well, or Jen didn't. But why? Maybe she.
Right.
Maybe she just had a really crappy day at work. Maybe something. Right. You know, you just don't know.
Or Karate Kid.
Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai. Yeah, I didn't like that. We were just like, at the beginning of it. But you were right. By the end of the first episode, I was all in. Because that's the way they paced that show.
Right.
So.
But it's just, like you said, you just don't know where somebody's at when they're watching something.
Right.
And that first impression, I mean, I guess it can change. Case in point would be Ted Lasso or Cobra Kai. But in the case of something that you really liked, a lot of that impression stays with you on subsequent watchings. You
oh,
know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
You know,
it
doesn't generally diminish. Like, I won't come back to watch Into the Spider-Verse again and say, you know what, that movie really sucked. I don't know why I'm like, you know what
well,
I mean?
Well, we did do that on Conan.
Well, we did, but and Star Trek the Motion Picture or whatever it was. But
that just came out in 4K. I think I bought the entire set and everything. I'm like, it's a collector.
Well, because the other movies are worth it.
Like, yeah,
the other movies in the set are worth it. But that first one, I don't need 4K versions.
You're a huge Trekkie.
Oh, I am.
I
am a huge Trekkie.
Which is weird because most of the Trekkies out there that I hear from, they're like, no, that's like Trekkie porn
Well, the it's Starship porn for sure. There's like that whole 15-minute scene of them.
Slow
like,
motion of a sitting still ship.
Docking on the ship. But But the themes of the movie overall are pretty smart, and you know, it's not necessarily a horrible movie, but it's the pacing and some of that stuff is pretty rough to watch.
Yes. All right. I guess this could be the last thing, but it's going to tie in to Hawkeye. We haven't talked Hawkeye, but we're talking spoilers.
Spoilers.
Yep. We're going spoilers here because this totally pertains to it. I shouted at my screen. We did it again. But did you think at the end of Hawkeye that, I mean, you knew that confirmed it. The end of Hawkeye, which we watched on Wednesday, the day before No Way Home came out, basically confirmed that Charlie Cox would be in the movie.
Right.
And and I had said it. We if we get, because they had been hinting at Kingpin all along. And we get D'Onofrio in this, we're definitely getting Charlie Cox. And when D'Onofrio showed up in his white suit at the end of that, and there was a tweet that D'Onofrio put out a little while ago that pretty much locked in that I knew that they were all coming into this, is because he replied, Vincent D'Onofrio replied to somebody about raving about Charlie Cox better be in this. I want Vincent D'Onofrio and Hawkeye, whatever it was, right? It was about both. And then D'Onofrio retweeted with comments saying, and let's not forget about, and what's her name from Daredevil?
Deborah Ann.
Karen. Yeah, Deborah Ann.
Karen Page.
Karen Page. She played Karen. And he's like, don't forget about her performance too. So meaning like, hey, we're getting all the love here and people are going to be talking about us, but don't forget about her. So I kind of like just him commenting towards it. But when he showed up, I was like, we're definitely getting him tomorrow. No doubt about it. And I think they paced that on purpose.
Well,
they knew the releases would be day to day.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, did Spider-Man ever get moved?
No.
Or was that always its date? Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that was always its date.
So then they definitely planned it that way. But I was thinking, it get...
Hawkeye got moved a bunch.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If it got moved, maybe they moved Hawkeye. But I don't know if they were intentionally always going to be one day apart.
A day apart, right.
Yeah.
I don't know. That'd be a good question.
I think it was always going to be... We would get the Hawkeye episode first because Hawkeye was supposed to come months ago, and that would have led to speculation for more than 24 hours. You know, you would have been like, oh, well, we just got D'Onofrio in this. Spider-Man's coming in 3 months, so I guarantee you, of that.
And that's saying they're all in the same universe, which is fantastic.
Well, yeah, because now the rumor is, again, here we go back to internet rumors that will happen 6 months from now, and I won't be excited because it's already spoiled. But they're talking about Colleen showing up in the Shang-Chi spinoff show on Disney Plus.
Okay,
because again, there's connections there where Colleen Wing could definitely appear in that series. And again, I liked her. You know, say what you will about the Iron Fist show, but Colleen was great. You know, and I would love to see her character back in the MCU, you know. Again, this opens the door up now for for all of them, probably except for Iron Fist, right? But
I don't know, because he was really good in his last season. I thought that last season was
season was much better, yeah. But
and
again,
the ending
love to
was
see
really
Jessica
good.
Jones back into the MCU. That would be fantastic.
Punisher.
So, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Charlie Cox showing up and Daredevil, Charlie Cox and Daredevil, Charlie Cox and D'Onofrio showing up, it brings all of them in because they had the Defender show, so they're all in it. They're all there.
They're all
Luke Cage is there. They're all there.
Yes.
Everybody is now in the MCU.
They
which
are.
They
but
already
now they
were
have...
anyways, because they had mentioned it on the show, but the movies never mentioned them.
Right.
Now we have... synchronicity going on here, and
but the MCU does have the ability to pick and choose which ones to bring in and which ones to leave out. Like, they could bring back Kristen Ritter, but also recast Luke Cage, and it would still make sense, I think what I'm more excited about is the ideas now like they're planting the seeds of Kingpin being such a major player in the background.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole MCU.
Yeah.
You know, oh, we don't want to get the big guy. You know, like they talked about him like he's almost Thanos level.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Threat.
Yeah.
But we've never seen anything he's done.
Clint went up against Thanos and he's worried about Kingpin.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I think that's going to unravel some things going forward that we're going to find out that maybe he was moving a lot of pieces behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know, that we just didn't know about, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Kingpin is like the Lex Luthor of the MCU of Marvel, right? Where he's just, he actually is powerful. He does have strength.
He does. He's got strength and he's got
size.
Size.
But he's also got that mind, the manipulative mind that I don't know if he's the genius of Luthor's level.
I don't think he is either.
I think he's just manipulating. He's very manipulative.
He's a criminal genius, though.
Criminal mastermind.
Mastermind, you know. He might not be like, he's not going to go in the lab and invent stuff like Luthor did, but he's a criminal mastermind. And, you know, we see it in, we saw it in season 3 of Daredevil, and we're also seeing it in Devil's Reign, that, you know, like you said, he's 10 steps ahead of everybody.
Right.
You know, and, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, so. It was kind of a no-brainer. Like, we've kind of known ever since they announced Echo that we were going to get Kingpin, because they're so linked in the comics, and it was just kind of a no-brainer of a way to bring him in.
Yeah.
But it still ultimately got spoiled for me. Like, it got spoiled for me early in the day on Wednesday before I got a chance to watch the episode.
Oh, really?
I was a little ticked off about that.
See, I was avoiding social media pretty good most of the week.
I was trying to, because of Spider-Man, but you get sucked in. I mean,
I didn't.
You see things without meaning to.
Right.
Because they don't bury the lead. You know, it's just right there in the headlines. And so, like, even now...
You love headlines.
even now, like, Spider-Man is only, like, 4 days old. And there are people that have not had a chance... Like, I talked to a customer yesterday that said, look, I haven't been able to get a seat for 4 days. It's sold out every show. And hasn't been able to see it yet. But God forbid you go on social media, because every secret in that movie has now been spoiled.
Well, but that's on you, though. At 4 or 5 days later, the weekend's over. If you haven't seen
but not from lack of trying. And we don't all get to see things on opening night. We try, but we don't all get to do it.
But if you care enough, then you should avoid. Now, I'm not saying see it. You should avoid that. All you got to do is not go on. I mean, I did it all week long,
And I don't know that he has been spoiled. I'm just saying. Like, I'm not avoiding it because I've already seen it.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, looking at all the headlines, even the next day, God forbid I hadn't seen it, because it's all out there, because you can't go.
I didn't even want to text you.
At 5:30, after whatever the earliest showing was, 2.5 hours later, the spoilers were already out, you know?
Well, we started at 3. So that was the earliest showing for us.
So by 5:30 p.m.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
Spoilers were out there, you know.
Right.
If the earliest show in any state was 1 o'clock, then by 3:30 the spoilers were out, you know, because God forbid anybody goes to see a movie and then doesn't tweet about it 5 seconds afterwards.
Yeah. You know? I don't even like to talk. I don't want to talk to you before you've seen it, if I've seen it. At all, because I don't want to give anything away just by my excitement or disappointment or like, hey, did you see? So Thursday was tough because you had said you might not be able to see it.
I wasn't sure if I was going to see it.
And I didn't, when did we talk? Was it Friday or was it?
It was probably Friday.
Friday. And I was like, I'm like, did Lydia get out on time? And you're like,
yeah.
And your reply, I think, said, I saw
it. Yeah, we saw it. Yeah, I almost texted you when I got out, because I knew by the time I got out, you were.
I was out an hour earlier because we both started at 3 in different time zones. So,
but then we went out to dinner and did some stuff. So,
yeah, Joe saw it in a different theater at 4:30 up here. So when he got home, we were both like, we were yapping away. So that at least I had that. Because I didn't want to go on social media, obviously. I didn't want to ruin it for people. I still don't.
No, I don't either. I won't let people talk about it in the store.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm there alone with them, no problem. But as soon as somebody else walks in the door, I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's why we got the door lock.
Right.
Right? That's what I'm here, and the door's locked. We just double-checked
it. I don't even want people asking me if I liked it. You know what I mean? Because even when I say, oh, yeah, I loved it, and then there's other customers in there, and they're like, even that tempers expectations.
Exactly. That's why I didn't want to talk to you before you saw it. Be like, oh, my God, it's my number one. Well, now you're never going to like it that much because it's like.
Right. That's the whole thing.
How do you live up to that? It's so good. All right. Is that it?
I think that's it?
It's an hour and almost 2 hours.
Almost 2 hours of just Spider-Man.
Yeah. And we'll pick it up
next
week. Which
is the first time we've done a show like this in a long time.
I know.
We haven't really done a straight topic
show.
Movie show.
Yeah. Isn't that fun?
It is fun. Well, and next week is I'm on vacation, brother.
I was just going to ask you, are you off next week? You're off,
I am. I'm off.
Yeah. Are you going away? Or you just...
No, I'm just going to be home, but I just...
Same here.
Don't want to be looking at the news. Like, if there's something to talk about, we could maybe jump on, but I'm not doing FOC, and I'm not looking at the news and reading... I'm not reading any comics. If we want to talk about Hawkeye for an hour...
Let's do that.
Maybe we can do that.
We'll wrap up Hawkeye, because I'm on vacation too, buddy. I haven't taken a full week off since 2005, and I'm taking this week off. Next week. I'm taking the week off. So we could do it any day. The only night I can't do is Monday night at my family Christmas party with the Briggses. And so I have that. But any day you want, any time, any day, I am supposed to. Jen's making me relax. She's not letting me leave. I don't even think I'm allowed to have my pants unless we leave the house. So that's how she keeps me relaxed. You can't go anywhere without pants.
Yep.
Little does she know, once it gets above 35, I'll go out without pants on.
Yeah. Or, you know.
I'm not relaxed.
I can stay pretty busy with my pants off for the whole week, too. But
Well, yeah, because you got web shooters.
That's right.
Oh, my.
I'll be shooting socks all over the house.
Oh, boy. There goes a whole load of laundry.
A whole load of laundry.
Oh, man, we're getting punchy. All right, so we're definitely doing a show. Well, we'll have to do it at some point before Wednesday, so Tuesday or whatever. At any time on Wednesday, we'll sit down and talk Hawkeye, wrap up the season. I'm really looking forward to the finale. We also have The Matrix to talk about, which I know you're not big on it, but we could touch on it a little bit.
I may not even watch it, but...
Really? It's on HBO Max. It's free. You're on vacation.
But I did see today that it is like a direct sequel to...
The third one.
The third one, which means I have to kind of watch all three of them before I watch this movie. Because I am not up on, I don't know what's going on, you know. I haven't seen those movies in so long that I feel like I have to watch them
know what's going on. As this podcast is out, that's dropping today with Hawkeye.
I did watch The Matrix recently because we talked about it. So
yeah.
I technically only have to watch 2 and 3. But
I know,
but
you
Lydia
don't like
didn't.
Them.
Well, but Lydia didn't watch The Matrix with me, so if we're gonna kind of watch all the movies, we might have to sit down and watch all four of them. So we'll see. We're off the whole week, but
yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm torn. That's the question.
Yeah, I'm torn because I don't even like. I'm gonna watch Matrix, but I want. I don't know if I want to go through the other three because I'm having so much fun still going through all the Spider-Mans.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know if I want to go through them either, but I feel like I won't know what's going on in this movie if I don't.
What I might do is I'll probably see the newest one, then go back, and that way you'll see, that's what they were referencing, and I like to do that too. So we'll see. So good news. We will be back next week with an abbreviated, just like this one,
2 hours.
An abbreviated 2-hour podcast.
Yeah.
Because you always say, we'll talk for an hour. Okay. Yeah, good luck with that. We can't even make a phone call for an hour.
Right.
That's why. Thank God they invented texting.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. That'll do it. That'll do it for this week. We will be back this year, next week with our final podcast of the year. But, John, have a great Christmas.
You too.
All right. Everybody have a great Christmas, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care.
Hey, Fred.